Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today, over the phone, we are joined by space expert Art Harmon, president of the Coalition to Save Manned Space Exploration. Art, it's a pleasure to have you on today. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I love to talk about the space program and introduce it to people all across the country.
And the space program, it's such a fun piece of our history and something that we hope can continue going into our future. Now, July marks the 56th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission. So 56 years ago, the world watched and cheered as Neil Armstrong took that historic first step onto the moon. I think a good place for us to start today as we talk about this moon landing is what started it all. How did the U.S. get so invested into this space race?
Well, it was a great speech by President Kennedy. He saw the vision. He saw the vision very early in his administration. Now, there were plans to go to the moon even starting back in Eisenhower, but it was Kennedy that put it on rocket drive to, so to speak, to happen. And so he gave a famous speech in which he said, "We will go to the moon in this decade and bring our astronauts safely back." And those words, "this decade," that was critical, because if he had just said, "We're going to go to the moon whenever we can," oh, they would still be working on it now, government. But it was a deadline. Everyone was focused on that. Kennedy was able to sell it to Congress. They funded it. And then there were 400,000 Americans at the peak that worked in various jobs to get our astronauts there and back.
Yeah, this was a major political milestone and a major cultural milestone. This was one of the biggest events that could have happened in the 60s. And like you said, spurred off by President John F. Kennedy playing an instrumental role in this. There's a reason he has a space center named after him. Now, looking to the actual Apollo 11 mission, everyone remembers that famous moment where Neil Armstrong steps onto the moon. But leading up to this moment, what was that mission looking like?
Well, from the ground, what people saw was all of the intense activity. There were millions of people literally lining the coast of Florida to watch the liftoff. But behind it were all of the engineers and technicians, the people in the control room, and everybody that worked so hard to make it happen. And then, When they launched, the whole world, even in the Soviet Union, even in China, everywhere there were reports of people huddling around radios, TVs. TVs weren't that common in developing countries, so they were like crowded around stores and places that had them, and it really brought humanity together. Even folks behind the Soviet Iron Curtain, they were all excited and followed intensely, every moment of that journey to the moon, the landing, the walk on the moon, and then the triumphant return.
You know, it's one of those moments in cultural history that it truly is incredible what we were able to accomplish and the impact that had, not just on the United States, but the world as a whole. Now, you've been graced with the opportunity to speak with both Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. To people my age, my generation, these are folk heroes to us. So what are these two amazing astronauts like in person?
Well, they're very, very different in personality, but they shared a very common thread that all of the early astronauts did. And that first was most of them had been in combat, flying in combat, like the Korean War and so forth, and they faced death daily, flying those jets, shooting MiGs and so forth. And and they survived. And what that shows is they were so laser focused on their mission that they didn't panic. Those pilots that panicked probably didn't make it. But if you could be calm and collected and just fly your plane, even if it's shot full of holes, and you make it back, well, that's the kind of people we needed. Now, Neil, when I met him, you know, I was impressed. He was sort of the ultimate gentleman. He was a very humble, mild-mannered man, and it was just, you know, an honor to talk to him, of course, but he just talked to me just like you and I are talking now. It was just, he was that open. Now, he was shy, and he did not like to do interviews, but for years afterwards, he taught at a university in his native Ohio. Now, Buzz is, on the other hand, Buzz is kind of the opposite, very gregarious, outgoing, and he would tell you exactly what he thinks. So in one of my conversations with him, we were talking about space plans for the future, and at one point he would say, "Yeah, I like that. We got to do that. Go do that." And 5 minutes later, we're talking about something else, and he would say, "No, you're wrong. Now let me tell you why you're wrong." And gotta love him. You know, he's the man on the moon, and he just tells it like it is.
You know, hearing these stories and these interactions that you've been able to have with him, it's incredible. The kind of character we were able to put out onto the moon and a part of this space program, they truly are two American heroes, and I'm glad we're taking the time to talk about them and their accomplishments. Now, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but this was a major fixation, both the cultural scene and the political scene during this time. Do you see this mission as more of just a fly the flag and collect some rocks project, or do you think it was a part of something much greater?
Well, actually, you're exactly right. It was much greater because Wernher von Braun, who was sort of the architect of the whole moon mission, he envisioned that we were going to do a number of more landings than we did do. We went up to Apollo 17. Then we were going to build an even larger rocket, kind of probably about the size of Elon Musk's Starship, and we'd start to build a base on the moon where astronauts would live and learn to live on another world. And then in the 1980s, we would have gone to Mars. So if the greedy politicians that just wanted to raid the NASA money for their own spending projects hadn't defanged that, and Nixon, I think, was kind of bored with it. He didn't see much of a point in continuing, so it got chopped way, way down, and then we did the shuttle and have been spending the rest of the time since merely in Earth orbit rather than doing bold new things. But yes, you're right. We were going to go to the moon and Mars and live there. And today, if we had, imagine this, little kids would look up at the moon, you know, on a brand new moon day, night when it's just all dark except for a little fuzzy halo around it, but there'd be a light. And they would look up and they would point at that light on the moon and say, "Mommy, Daddy, there's people on the moon." So we're hoping that over the next decade, we will return to the plans that they had actually set forth more than 50 years ago.
And as we celebrate this 56th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission, I think it is important that we kind of look to what we think the future of space travel may look like. We often see ideas like commercialized space travel and Mars colonization thrown out all the time. Do you think these ideas can become a reality, or if things kind of hold as they have lately, do you see them fading into science fiction?
I think it's going to be a very bright and exciting future now. You know, unfortunately, we did waste 40 years or so being earthbound to the space station and so forth, but by the way, you can follow me on SaveManSpace.com and SaveManSpace on social media. But, you know, if Elon Musk and or others like Blue Origin and others yet to come are successful, within 10 years, you'll probably be able to go into orbit for the price of today's luxury cruise on a ship. And then within, you know, maybe 15 years, again, for that kind of money, you know, a luxury vacation, go to the moon and maybe stay for a few days or a week on the moon. And it's really going to become sort of the democratization of space, space for everyone.
And, you know, I think that's a future that a lot of us are hoping for now, Art. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, you know, look up and get those dreams coming. And for those who are in school, be part of it. If you have an interest in engineering and in anything that would contribute to the space program, make that your career. You may end up in space yourself, and or help others achieve that that themselves. So look up. Oh, and by the way, you can always watch the space station flying overhead. NASA's got an app. Look it up. I think it's Spot the Space Station. And then, again, SaveManSpace.com, and the same on social media. You can follow what I'm doing and where we hope to be in the future.
Well, Art, it was a pleasure to have you on today. Thanks again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, that was space expert Art Harmon, president of the Coalition to Save Manned Space Exploration. We were talking about the Apollo 11 mission 56 years ago this July was celebrated. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews, stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM or listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.